Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Democrat Dan Johnson Weinberger, Republican Chris Voronis, and Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. Our program tonight coming to you from our home base at the Sirius XM Studios on Chicago's Great West Side, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. Top of the show, a thanks to John Dempsey, who sat in here last week as I was on vacation with my daughter and son-in-law and granddaughters and had a wonderful time in the great state of Michigan. I was lured to Michigan by their great commercials and had a wonderful week of vacationing with the family up in Michigan. While I was away, the president was playing, and he got himself caught into a little brouhaha that lasted several days. We're going to be talking about the dust-up involving the Cambridge Police Department and scholar Henry Louis Gates. As the program unfolds, certainly in hour number one this evening, Professor Gates has said in an email message posted online yesterday that it's time for all of us to move on, and we will do that after we spend about an hour talking about it, and we are going to be talking about health care, but he wants to move on. We're not ready to quite move on yet because, you know, we just haven't had a chance to talk about it for a week.
It's a weekly show.
It's a weekly show, and we're going to lead with this tonight. He did say, however, this is Professor Gates, my entire academic career has been based on improving race relations, not exacerbating them. I am hopeful that my experience will lead to greater sensitivity to issues of racial profiling in the criminal justice system. If so, then this will be a blessing for our society. Of course, the president has said that he thinks that this can be a teaching moment as well, and we'll talk about some of the lessons that perhaps all of us should learn from this story. But we have a unique situation because this has been looked at in racial terms. It's also been looked at in class terms. And I want to turn to Professor Charles Lipson, who joins us from the University of Chicago. Once upon a time, you were at Harvard as well as a student, right?
At Harvard?
At Harvard.
Harvard
Yard.
Yes.
So you know, let me just ask this question before we get into the racial aspect of it.
Yeah.
And there is a racial aspect of it. Let's get into the class aspect of it. And when you are a professor, and you are a professor at the University of Chicago also, a great university. But what about the attitude, the interrelations between the professors at a major university and those when they become involved in a law enforcement situation? Is there an element of arrogance that is part of this story?
There is. There are a lot of universities. I would hope that Chicago is one of them, where the students and the faculty have no sense of real privilege, where there's not a sense of entitlement. It's something that people remark about all the time when they come to the University of Chicago. People love to argue about things, but there's not a sense of entitlement. Harvard is entitlement. Look up entitlement in the dictionary and you see a picture of Harvard. And nothing spells entitlement more than being a tenured professor at Harvard, unless it's having a big chair and running a center. And I think that in addition to the racial dimension, there's a sense of privilege. There's a sense of who are you. Now, I want to add one more thing. When I was in Cambridge for 8 years, 9 years, over various period of time, but last lived there over 20 years ago for any length of time, there was a really substantial problem of racial prejudice in law enforcement. When I would go north from Harvard Square on Massachusetts Avenue, for example, the only cars I ever saw pulled over had black drivers. White drivers could be doing wheelies in the middle of the road. Nothing would happen. But those days are over. Cambridge now has a black mayor. Massachusetts has a black governor. And the United States has a black president. The people who came to Professor Gates' house were a racially mixed group. Mm-hmm. That was a there had been crimes on that block, and that had been reported and called in by a neighbor.
Dan Johnson-Weinberger is our card-carrying Democrat tonight. Looking at the publicity and some of the recent even polls that have come out, you know, on this matter, how big a slip was this by the president?
Well, I think it's something that the media is fascinated by. I watched the health insurance reform press conference, and I saw the last question was Chicago's very own Lynn Sweet asked, you know, the president what he thought about this thing. And the thing that struck me is he said, look, the guy's my friend. You know, I know him. He's my friend. So if somebody gets arrested for trying to get into their own house after a trip, I think that's kind of stupid.
He was briefed on it, though, wasn't he, Dan? I mean, in other words, the president didn't just say this.
No,
that's
what he said clearly. Look, I don't know. What I've been told is he came back. I haven't, you know, I've just seen reports, but I don't know.
He didn't know the facts.
Yeah.
So you think the use of the word the Cambridge Police Department acted stupidly, you think that was okay for him to say?
I think it came from a perspective of being friends with the guy.
Chris Voronis is our card-carrying Republican, shaking his head, cannot believe what he just heard.
We'll talk about the politics of stupidity later with Obama venturing into this this distraction. And I agree with you. The media is fascinated by these kind of stories and wants them to make them into metaphors for race relations. But healthcare is round two. What I find striking, Bruce, that statement that you read from Gates. That polished statement, probably mm-hmm. written by one of his press people, high-minded, paragon of virtue. I want to improve mm-hmm. race relations. That is in diametric, stands in diametric, sort of polar opposite to the Henry
actions.
Louis Gates of when the police approached him, yelling at him, demeaning his mother. Do you know
demeaning
who I
the
am?
The policeman's mother.
Yeah. Do you know who I am? Right away, turning this away from a racial issue, which he wants to make it, and it's between a tenured professor and this Boston cop who talks funny, who, by the way, had a Latino partner and a black partner there who corroborated the story mm-hmm. at the scene.
Did you see the tears in the eyes of the blacks at the press conference in Boston? The black policemen who were standing behind the guy who was speaking, they were there. With the accused policeman, but there was a spokesman for them all. I mean, they just know this guy. They know that he's not a prejudiced cop. There's questions as to whether he could have resolved it without an arrest, to be sure. But you can just see. This is like the New Haven police, the New Haven firefighters, Ricky and so forth. This is just the worst case for them to go forward on.
But wait a minute. There is no case. What Barack said is...
No, it's a political case.
But who's they? I mean, the only one that seemed to be making the case are people that want to ding the president. And all he said...
No, wait a minute. The president spoke out in his press conference.
My friend got arrested at his own home for trying to get into his own place. That is a stupid
Obama
result.
What he was arrested.
I don't care which way you spin it.
Obama said twice he didn't know all the facts, yet he moved to condemn... He moved to condemn the police...
We want to break. 1-800-723-8029. Wherever you're listening to that, I know you have an opinion on this. 1-800-723-8029. I'd really like to hear from anyone out there who's ever been arrested, or I'd like to hear from a police officer. 1-800-723-8029.
It's the medicine your mom gave you as a kid. The medicine you trusted when you were pregnant. And for many, it's what you rely on to ease arthritis pain. Tylenol has been trusted for over 50 years. And while store brands make pills that look just like Tylenol, it's important to know they're not made by Tylenol. The only way to get the brand you've trusted your whole life, the brand doctors recommend most, is to buy the brand doctors recommend most. Feel better. Tylenol. Use only as directed.
You know, I'd get the interview easily with my resume and everything, and then I'd walk in and I could just see their, you can just see their expression. They think I'm too old.
This is Andy from Sydney, Ohio.
And a friend just told me, one day, he said, why don't you try coloring your hair? And I said, worth a try. And the very next interview I had, I got the job. It could be coincidence, but I doubt it.
For essential career tips and a free offer, go to justformen.monster.com. That's justformen.monster.com.
From Cambridge, Massachusetts to Bakersfield, California, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8029. We are talking about the president's comments this past week referring to the Cambridge, Massachusetts Police Department as acting stupidly in their arrest of a black scholar, Henry Louis Gates, from Harvard University. And Dan, you were making a point during the commercial break, and you now want to make it on the air.
I take away the racial component. Because to me, it doesn't matter, like Michael Jackson says, it doesn't matter if you're black or white. If it's your house and you're trying to get into your own home that you left your keys in some other pocket, it is a stupid action of law enforcement that interaction ends in an arrest instead of, okay, Mr. Whoever you are that owns that place, thanks, just wanted to clear that up. I don't care if the homeowner says, hey, come on, give me a break.
What happened in between, Dan? What happened in between? The police officer approached the home on the outside, did not enter in, wanted to find out what was going on, asked questions. A break-in was reported. And what was the first thing that Gates said?
Who cares?
What's
it's
the first
his
thing
house.
That he said?
I don't know.
He said, why? Because I'm black in America? I mean,
Who cares? Right away,
provoking and instigating.
Is that disorderly conduct?
It's
in my book, Veronis.
It's instigating a confrontation. Gates, the blame, there's plenty of blame to go around. A lot of it is on Gates'
shouldn't,
shoulders.
Shouldn't, and this is
that's
a, this,
not
is, this, is a, this is a question, again, I'm going to ask this question, and if there are police officers listening, I really want to hear from you because I want to know the answer to this question. In police training, isn't one of the first things you are trained is that you're going to be dealing with people who are not happy with what you've probably asked them to do or they've just been arrested? So you've got to assume that the people that you are engaging with are not going to be necessarily your biggest fans.
Right.
And you've got to assume that they may be saying things to you that you should necessarily maybe not respond to.
Right.
And so you basically sort of take it and you turn the other cheek, if you will, and you walk out or you make your arrest, if indeed there's going to be arrest. But is the verbal abuse in itself – at what point did that go over the line? Was it because that's why I wanted to ask the question about class, first of all, because it seems to me that if you're dealing with a professorial superstar, as Henry Louis Gates is, living in his
he's a professorial
tower,
superstar, not a scholarly one.
Right. But he's a big man on campus at Harvard, right?
Yes.
OK. He is dealing.
They've given him the house.
That's right. When he is engaged with the police department, he generally believes, I would assume, that maybe that he's a little bit smarter than anybody on the police department.
He probably
so there's
is.
There's an element of arrogance built into it. So if the police officer who's arriving and is asking him for his identification, and that police officer should be trained not to overreact. And as the president said, I think during his second address to the nation on this issue, addressing this matter, he said he probably thought both sides overreacted.
That may well be. But the fact that Gates himself is saying a person who's made a living out of talking about racial issues and talked about teachable moments and all the rest, the fact that he says it's time to move on knows that he's getting the worst of the public discussion. For example, his foundations are now being looked into and why they have collected a fair amount of money and never distributed any of it or distributed very little of it. He's going to be looked into, and he may not want that scrutiny because all the scrutiny he's gotten until now has been fawning. And not everybody's fawning, but the president's the one who made the more serious error. The reason he made a serious error is normally when you're the president of the United States and you say, I don't know anything about it, the next thing is, I hope this can be resolved. Yeah. Skip Gates is a person I know and have the highest regard for, and I hope that this will be peacefully resolved. And the second element of the mistake, besides then saying it was stupid, the second element of the mistake is the main point of that press conference was to talk about health care, and he stepped on his own message and stepped on it badly. Yep. So this was a political error.
Talk about stupidity.
And the final way it was a mistake.
Don't you call
is
our president
liberal,
stupid, Veronica?
The liberal politicians try to make a real point that they're not soft on crime, that they're not always with the victim, that they support strong law enforcement and so forth. This was a key element of Clinton running.
And he's really undermined that message. What I'm hearing you say here then is what that moment was, that moment, that candid moment, that unscripted moment.
It was not necessarily unscripted, Bruce. We heard today from Robert Gibbs that he and the president had talked about this issue and thought it might come up at the press conference. So the president was – he may not have known everything that happened in Cambridge, but he was ready to talk about this.
Yeah. When he talked about that he miscalibrated, he wished that he had calibrated his words a little bit better. My point is this.
Yes.
By saying what he said when he talked about, you know, the police department acting stupidly, was that the real Barack Obama talking? Is that what he really believes?
And why can't we view this through a race-neutral lens, which is what I said earlier? Somebody gets arrested for disorderly conduct. He doesn't have an air horn. He's not running up down the street. He's in his own front yard being confronted by a police officer saying, you know, you got a problem here?
Show me some identification.
Yeah, right. How can that police officer be called a good police officer, like a maniac, that at the end of this, I don't care how you respond. I don't care how you respond.
Chris, one at a time. Chris, who acted like a maniac? Yeah.
Gates, with the things that he said.
To say what?
If you're approaching a law enforcement official in a provocative way, you're playing with fire, bottom line. And to put cuffs on a person, no matter who he is, that's standard operating procedure.
And that's a
problem.
That's
going to happen.
You know what?
Regardless.
That's the problem.
It doesn't – Cambridge?
It's a problem.
Anywhere
somebody,
in the United States.
His own home in like – you know, Democrats can't talk about – you know, law enforcement overreach for fear you're going to be tagged on soft on crime. I think that's absurd. The idea that this law enforcement officer acted correctly and not stupidly to end in an arrest for disorderly conduct at a homeowner
is ridiculous. Did Gates overreact?
Sure.
He did.
Sure.
So there's a little blame on him.
Absolutely. But
a moment where he felt as vulnerable as every other black person in America?
Anybody confronted by law enforcement on his own home?
So you're saying the
president's right that anybody that arrests somebody, white, black, Latino, whatever, his own home, who gets, you know, unhappy that he's asked by a police officer for identification or whatever it is to get in his own home.
But Dan,
that's
who raised the racial issue?
One at a time.
Yeah.
Professor.
Who raised the racial issue?
Lynn Sweet.
Sharpton did. The person who raised the racial issue was Gates during the confrontation. His immediate point. Now, there was a call to the police station. We still haven't heard the tapes, but a neighbor has said she called in because there were two people trying to break in. She identified them as black, but that's just an identification of who the people were. But Gates, as soon as he was approached, immediately said, "You're doing this to me because I'm black."
Let's go to Timothy, listening to us on KTSM in El Paso, Texas. He wants to weigh in on this. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, thank you. I think this is just a whole brand new perspective on Barack Obama's and the Democrats' elitism, and basically it's boiling down to National Socialism, which 75 years ago was called Nazism. He had no business bringing this into the public issue on a national level, even though the guy was his friend. The guy did not identify himself when the police officer asked him to, which is well within the policeman's rights. And Gates...
How do you know that?
Because that's what I heard. That's what's on the public news. That's what was said right there.
See, because I have not heard that. I have not heard that Gates refused to identify who he was.
If he's in his own home,
he took out his ID.
It doesn't matter. If you're in your own home and the policemen are called there and they say, "Can you identify yourself?"
And he did.
Yes, you have to identify yourself.
And
every
he did.
Every citizen in the United States has to identify themselves.
And he did.
I live here on the border. You have to identify yourself at least as a person
in your
own home, if not as a United States citizen.
Tim,
there is a drug war going on.
Okay,
and
Tim, we're getting off to a couple of other subjects here. Let's stick to one.
So,
Dan's got a question for you.
So,
or
Tim,
he's got a comment.
So, Tim, he did identify himself. And so,
he did?
Yeah.
When did he identify
himself? He showed his ID. And he
did
said,
he say, okay, I'm so-and-so Gates. Did he have any proof of that?
Yeah, he showed his ID,
he
Tim.
He showed himself.
He showed his ID. And then,
he also
now,
told
at that
them,
point,
do you know who you're messing with?
Yeah, so then, let's say, so then a citizen of the United States, because Nazism would be, you know, supporting aggressive law enforcement, right? Right, that would be where Nazism goes. What you mentioned, Tim. Right. So I think you got your.
Automatically, as soon as they're asked for ideas, that's an aggression against your rights.
But, no. Chris has got a comment.
Look, it's pointless and it's stupid to talk about who said what in this altercation.
We don't know,
Bruce. That's right. The bottom line is Gates overreacted, and Gates consciously chose to elevate this into a national issue. By the way, he's got a PBS series coming up, so tune in. There'll be a large audience there, no doubt.
No, but Gates didn't do that. The president did that.
The president
is the one that elevated it.
And Gates did,
5 days beforehand.
Gates did, too, and his surrogates, Al Sharpton. So they said, I've never felt more vulnerable as a black man in America than I did in my house.
All right. Wait.
And by the way, the other person who elevated it is Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, who is black. When asked, he said that on the apology comments, Patrick called Gates' arrest every black man's nightmare. That's what he said. So he brought the racial component into it as well. 1-800-723-8029. Lots of callers on the line. We've touched a nerve with this subject. We'll be back with comments from coast to coast and border to border. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight.
I'm a human resources professional.
This is Chet from Sneed's Ferry, North Carolina.
Gray means you're old, period. Long in tooth. I use Just for Men. It makes me perform better.
So we asked, should a guy get rid of his gray with Just for Men?
Absolutely. I'd flat out tell him, guy, you got to do something with your hair. You got to make yourself look younger because they cannot ask you how old you are.
For essential career tips and a free offer, go to justformen.monster.com. That's justformen.monster.com.
Announcing the Ally Bank Online Savings Account with an interest rate of 1.85% APY. If you're waiting for the terms and conditions, forget about it. It really is that straightforward. Nothing confusing, hazy, ambiguous, dubious, or dodgy. No double dealing, double speak, or double meanings. Just an online savings account that offers a rate that's among the most competitive in the country. So call Ally at 877-247-ALLY or go to allybank.com. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
From Benton Harbor, Michigan to Shreveport, Louisiana, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway on America's great radio stations and Sirius XM satellite radio as well. We've got some callers listening to us on Sirius XM tonight, and we'll hear from them in just a moment. After I identify our guest, our card-carrying Republican tonight is Chris Voronis. He is a public relations executive when he is not on the radio. Dan Johnson Weinberger is a political activist. He is a lobbyist. He went to the University of Chicago, where his law school professor was Barack Obama.
That's right.
So he's been. And what grade did he give you?
We've got a weird thing, but I got an 80, which is an 80.
Oh, that's 80. That sounds.
It's an
close,
A.
That's close to 100.
Yeah.
Also joining us this evening is Charles Lipson. He's from the University of Chicago, hails from Marks, Mississippi, and you have a new title, a new honor to add to your name. Tell us a little bit about it, and then we're going to go to calls.
I'm the Peter B. Ritzema Professor of Political Science and in the college at the University of Chicago, and below the Mason-Dixon line, I will be the Peter B. Gritzema.
Gritsima. By the way, when that is, just a little inside university funding here. When somebody does that, I mean, they give a lot of money, and then do they basically pay your salary for 5 years, 10 years? What's the deal?
In my case, I got a house in the Caribbean, and
and a free pass from the Cambridge.
Exactly,
and I can go to
movies free. In this case, it was a person who had done service for the university in the 1930s and 40s, and was actually a principal at Chicago high schools. So I don't know whether there was money that had been donated back then or whether it was just to honor his service. In some schools, they give you an additional big pot of money associated with it. Others not.
Okay. Well, thank you for that
insight. But the free movies would be welcome if any of your listeners are out there. Yes.
Hey, you get to be 65, you get a free bus ride. Thanks to Rod Blagojevich.
Thank you very much.
1-800-723-8029. Lots of callers on the line. Let's go to Bob listening to us in Hammond, Indiana on our flagship station, WLS. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I told the call screener that it seems to me like there are two separate issues here that are both important issues. One is the issue of a rogue cop, and I'm a white person, and I don't like a rogue cop pushing me around any more than I would imagine anybody else does.
What made him a rogue? What based on what you know or what you've read, what made Officer Crowley a rogue cop in your view?
Hello?
Yeah, what made him a rogue cop?
A rogue cop is someone that operates outside of his authority or uses extraordinarily bad judgment.
That's ridiculous.
It is bad judgment.
It's ridiculous.
You arrest somebody for disorderly conduct, it's bad judgment.
Here's a police officer who taught racial profiling for the police department in Cambridge. Here's a police officer who was highly commended, highly cited, never had any kind of negative point on his record. He's a model police officer.
There is a question. There's a legitimate question.
He must be a good guy because he's been invited to the White House for a beer.
Yeah, he's going
to
drink
Gates. There's a legitimate question about whether the officer.
Bob was going to make his point. Make your point, Bob.
My point that he's a rogue, that he made a very bad judgment because the man telegraphed to him, "I am going to make a race issue out of this," and in today's litigious world that we live in. It's a lose situation, I think, for the police to pursue it. I can't believe they arrested
him. So the police officer shouldn't do his job?
What's his job?
So the police officer should be scared out of doing his job.
Bob is saying that that Gates fed him some bait and he bit.
I'd do the exact same thing if I was Crowley. I'd do the exact same thing.
What I'm saying is once it became apparent that the man lived in the house, that the cop was coming
to
investigate.
I don't think it ever was.
It is ID.
Whether or not it was broken into, he should have backed out of that, especially after the man made a point of the fact that the man was black and he's white and this is a race thing. I think he showed bad judgment to arrest him because he guaranteed a lawsuit if the man wants it. He guaranteed a lawsuit for his police department for that county, probably.
No one should be scared out of doing their job.
No, actually, Gates did for a short period of time consider a lawsuit. He's backed away from it because, again, in this particular case, and this is important, the Cambridge Police Department dropped this case. They dropped the charges of disorderly conduct when they looked at the facts, and what they probably said is, wait a minute, you go in and you ask for identification. There's no one that has said that Gates did not provide identification. Or you look at identification. We assume that it's a driver's license. We assume that identification has an address on it. If you're standing in the house that you've been called for a burglary and you see that it's the same address you've been to, you should assume this guy is in his own house.
Right.
So look, bottom line, there's plenty of blame to go around. The idea of handcuffing a guy who needs a cane, I mean, it's a little unreasonable. But at the same time,
If you were arrested, you put the cuffs on.
You put the cuffs on him. Yes, that is procedure. But at the same time, Gates, there's a lot of blame that goes on his shoulders
for
overreacting, taunting the police officer. Being a lunatic.
Bruce, you made the right point.
I generally do. I've been doing it for almost 30 years now, and you're right. It's true.
We're going to bask in the sun of your wisdom right now.
Which one of my many comments are you going to?
This is the one where you nailed it. If it was the right call to arrest a homeowner getting into his own home after a trip from China, if that was really disorderly conduct, they probably wouldn't have dropped the charges. The fact that they dropped the charges mean the officer
dropped the charges
made
because
bad
this became
judgment.
It was a bad judgment.
I agree.
It was excessive, I think, to have actually arrested him. But there's a long way between that and being what the caller said, which is a rogue cop.
I agree.
This was a little over the top. By the way, the huge amount of bad judgment on Gates' part, clearly you don't go running out after cops yelling about their mothers.
Sure, that's
this
fine.
Is just
he also allegedly, now this is Gates, said that he had a bronchial thing and he couldn't talk very loud.
Oh, but, that's a first.
But the picture of him, he clearly looked like he was yelling, at least the picture that made it on the internet. Let's go to Cynthia in Austin, Texas, KLBJ, one of America's great talk radio stations in a great city. Go ahead.
Hey, y'all need to read the police reports by Officer Figueroa and then the arresting officer, because they both say that Gates did refuse. He said, "I will not," when he was asked to show ID. He did eventually show his Harvard ID, but he refused, and he started yelling at the police officer. And then he said, "You don't know who you're messing with." And then, before he ever showed ID, he made a call to the police department and said, "Get the chief on the phone." And he was behaving like an elitist of the worst kind, and that's what offends me.
Not
like
a Harvard professor.
So important.
All dance that friends.
The police.
I don't know any Harvard professors.
Him the way that they would treat my husband. My husband would have been arrested if he had had a screaming hissy fit on the front porch with the police officer and hadn't shown him ID.
But you said he did eventually show him ID, and what?
Not before he had a big screaming hissy fit.
Well, also, I mean, if he is saying, if everything that's in that police report is accurate,
police reports,
all right, if everything in that in those police reports are accurate, you can imagine how the police officers feel when you've got someone who is basically going above their head. "Do you know who I am? I want to talk to the police chief." I mean, that does not endear you to anyone.
No, it doesn't.
It's shameful, rude, tacky behavior.
And not, in my judgment, disorderly conduct. That we should allow people to be arrested for being shameful, tacky, or elitist. You want to be a jerk on your front porch? Call him a jerk and elitist.
Let's go to Mike in Raleigh, North Carolina, listening to us on Sirius POTUS. Sirius, are you listening to us on Sirius or XM tonight?
XM.
Good. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I think the onus has to fall more squarely on the shoulders of the police officer, and this is why. The police officer was being paid to be alert, to be acute. They were the initiators of the confrontation. And at the end of the day, the police officer is backing away, saying, "Hey, it's really Gates' fault that the situation escalated," as if he didn't have the control. The reality is he was being paid. The entire encounter was a profitable engagement for the police officer. He made money being there. He's on duty. He's not drinking. I mean, let's face it. When we travel, we had a drink or two. I mean, it's the onus is on the person who is being paid to be acute and to be astute and on their game.
And to
the
have
officer
a you're right.
Had more of that. And he backed away from it, saying, "I had no choice." Literally, I heard him on TV. "I had no choice but to arrest the guy."
Right.
But you always have a choice. The reality was he was offended by all the, the arrogance of Gates. I understand that arrogance, but I don't think it was an arrestable offense.
Yeah,
Chris,
lack of cooperation, provocative statements, yelling. All qualifies as disorderly conduct.
Provocative statements. And
look,
one second. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I've heard cops call things a lot worse than "your mama" and, "am I a black man?" I mean, those things are, those things aren't great, but, I mean, honestly, I mean, I've seen drug dealers, drug addicts, I've seen drunk people calling things that,
look,
that
the whole idea of racial profiling, the whole idea of driving while black is that it happens for specious reasons. That blacks, Latinos, any person of color is preyed upon, at will. What happened here were comments by Gates that escalated the situation out of control. It has nothing to do with black and white. It has everything to do with acting civilly and normally.
And we're talking about Obama's comments, which took everything and blew it, made it into a federal case. 1-800-723-8029. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly from Chicago.
We'll be right back.
When you're really in pain, everything seems to add to it. Relief can't come fast enough. Now there's new Bayer Quick Release Crystals, a whole new form of pain relief from Bayer that dissolves quickly on your tongue. With an extra pain-relieving booster, it's ready to go to work faster than caplets or tablets, which take time to dissolve. So before you know it, you're feeling a whole lot better. New Bayer Quick Release Crystals with a bold citrus taste. Just rip, pour on your tongue, and expect relief fast. Take with water as directed.
I wasn't getting past a certain point with the interviews.
This is Tamar from Washington, D.C.
Ray kind of says, does he have the energy to do the job?
And then Tamar tried Just for Men.
And when I went into the interview, I just went into the interview with a new renewed energy or something. And it was the first time I left the place knowing I had the job. It really wasn't anything magical or anything, but it was magical to me.
For essential career tips and a free offer, go to justformen.monster.com. That's justformen.monster.com.
From Frankfort, Illinois to Frankfort, Kentucky, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. For those of you who are listening to this broadcast on WLS 890 within the sound of my voice in the Chicagoland area, tonight on the television version of our show. Usually the TV version of the show is the same as the radio version of the show, but tonight, because of my vacation last week, we're a little behind schedule in playing some of the shows back. So what you will see on television tonight at 10:30 on TV 20 and throughout the week on Comcast, you will hear the second of our hour of our show a couple of weeks ago when we had Brian Burrow. Brian Burrow is the author of the book Public Enemies, America's Greatest Crime Wave and the Birth of the FBI, 1933-34. It is the popular movie that is out now, is based on the book. It's an excellent book. It'll be a great discussion, again, on the television version of our show. And Bob Kramer and Nick Zitzen and Barb Iverson from Columbia College also are guests on that program again tonight at 10:30 on TV 20, Public Enemies. And again, it is an excellent discussion of the politics of the 1930s that really led to America's first war on crime, the relationship of J. Edgar Hoover and Franklin Delano Roosevelt in one of the most lawless periods in certainly in a modern American history. Again, a good discussion again tonight on TV. Let's go to Dave and Joliet listening to us in Chicago on our flagship station, WLS. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I just want to say I could not be a policeman. I think these morons that have called up on the phone, I would say drop the F-bomb, drop the race word, drop whatever you want, but don't call me when somebody's trying to break in your house and rape and murder your family, because I ain't going to come there if I'm a cop. As far as my opinion, I think the comment was made that Barack Obama made this a federal issue. I have people who I used to live in a city and I used to work in a city. They used to hear this man speak when he was way back when in the state house and state rep or whatever the heck he was in the state.
State
this
senator.
This man should have been brought out more before the election. He's no better than Wright or Ayers or any of these other radicals. As far as I'm concerned, I say Mr. Excrement because I have no respect for him. I have no respect for anybody who would support him. He is racist. Sotomayor is racist. If you read this new health care package, they want to have racial profiling in medical school. That means we're going to have unqualified people in doctor positions just because we want to make things fair. There are a lot of black people there that I know, and there's a lot of black people I've encountered in my life who are doctors and who are very, very skilled doctors. And if I was going to look in the future and have these plans implemented in our society, and I was assigned a minority doctor 20 years from now, I wouldn't want one.
Dan Jensen Weinberger, you've said a lot. I'm going to let Dan respond because he's our Democrat. Dan, you want to comment on any of those things? Pick one. Pick any one of those.
I guess if you have no respect for anyone that supports President Obama, you've got no respect for a majority of the people of this country that voted for him. But I think here's the thing. I think the president was right when he said the Cambridge police officer, I mean, he walked away from it, but I don't. I think any police officer acted stupidly that concluded in arresting somebody for disorderly conduct, not because it was racial profiling.
I want to ask one more question. Do you think the president was correct in responding to the question at all? Should he have dismissed it totally?
You know one thing I like about Mayor Daley, what I like about President Obama? You ask a question, you answer it. I don't care where it is. It's out left field, right field, take him. And Lynn Sweet asked a question. I respect him that he took it. He swung for it. And you know what? Maybe it wasn't the savviest thing to do because we should be talking about health insurance reform and getting the for-profit insurance companies out of the relationship between us and our doctor. But I like that he said the right thing. I'd much rather have government than a health insurance.
All right, we're
going
to move on. Let's go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Kelo is the station. K-E-L-O. Mike is the caller. Go ahead, Mike.
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Terrific. It's nice to hear from South Dakota tonight.
Okay, well, I'm back in the cop.
Okay. Why?
Okay. Well, because what you guys haven't mentioned tonight, he wasn't arrested in his house. He was arrested outside of his house. He was in public. Okay?
Okay.
And he was drawing a crowd.
Okay.
With his actions.
All right,
That's why he was arrested. He wasn't arrested for not showing ID. He was arrested because he was drawing a crowd, creating a disturbance.
How so? By saying, hey, what is this?
Neighbors were coming out of their house to watch.
So why didn't the police officers just leave? Once you figured out
because
there's no burglary.
Disturbing the peace.
I think, you know what, that's a very important point, Mike. And let's go to Joe in Schaumburg, because I think Joe may have hit the nail on the head because of the circumstance that you've just described. If the police officer is being berated in front of fellow officers and those who are gathering in the general public, it's now a mano-mano situation, right, Joe?
Yeah. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. What I think happened here is two egos clash, and I'll tell you why. Me as a Democrat, do I put more of the blame on Professor Gates? Yeah, I do for what he said. However, Officer Crowley, if I'm Officer Crowley, walk away.
Right.
Yeah, okay, buddy, whatever you're saying, you know, I'm leaving. Professor Gates did not assault him. He did not raise a hand on him. I mean, they're just words. They're just words. Walk away. And diffuse the situation. But another thing that comes into play, the neighbor called the cops. From what I understand, it was broad daylight. She was standing on her front yard with her cordless phone. She didn't know it was Professor Gates.
Yeah, apartment buildings and all sorts. There are a lot of people on that. There were apparently two people at the door, but I think you're fundamentally right. The officer could have walked away and in retrospect should have, but Gates is the one who raised the racial issue. Gates is the one who made this a national story along with the president and the governor of Massachusetts.
And this was not an example of racial targeting.
We have got a break in hour number one. Our guest this evening, our Republican, is Chris Voronis. Our Democrat is Dan Johnson Weinberger. Our professor from the University of Chicago is Charles Lipsum. I'm Bruce Dumont. We're going to be here for another full hour. We're going to continue to take calls on this subject, but also in the next hour, we're going to be talking about health care reform and some of the problems that the administration is running into in meeting its deadlines, its prescribed deadlines for resolving the health care crisis in the country. 1-800-723-8289. When we continue from Chicago, I'm Bruce Dumont.
Since OnStar began, we've responded to over 100,000 automatic crash alerts.
OnStar Emergency, this is Barbara.
I'm stuck in my car here, head-on. My legs are broken.
Okay, I'm contacting 911.
911.
This is OnStar Emergency. We have a vehicle crash with injuries at Calabria Road. The front airbag deployed with a maximum reported Delta V of 32 miles per hour. I have 911 on the line.
I'm hurting bad. I'm shoved into the front of the vehicle.
I'm going to send EMS and police.
Barbara?
I'm not going to leave you until I know that emergency service is there to assist you.
Okay.
In a crash, an OnStar advisor can automatically receive an alert and share your exact GPS location and critical crash details with first responders, so they're better prepared to help.
The officer is on the scene.
Yeah, they're here.
Okay, sir, please know we're here when you need us.
OnStar is standard for the first year on 14 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
The chemical plant I'd worked at for 12 years shut down, and I was looking for another place to work.
This is Danny from Baton Rouge.
And I think that first impression they get sometimes is a little too old. You know, why should we mess with him?
Then Danny got rid of his gray with Just for Men.
You know, they're not seeing the gray in the mustache, and they're not seeing the gray in the side of my hat. You know, if you feel better about yourself, you're going to feel better about everything else.
For essential career tips and a free offer, go to justformen.monster.com. That's justformen.monster.com.
As a Major League Baseball umpire for over 30 years, I've learned focus is everything. That's why I switched to a complete multivitamin with more. Only one a day men's 50 plus advantage has both ginkgo for memory and concentration, plus support for heart health. Centrum can't give you all that. And in this game, I want every advantage.
One a day men's 50 plus advantage, the official multivitamin of Major League Baseball.
Introducing Ally Bank's 9-month no-penalty CD with an interest rate of 1.9% APY. Just to make that perfectly clear, that's a no-penalty CD. No penalty for early withdrawal, medium or late withdrawal, no extra fees, forfeiture, and no fine print anywhere. Just a high-interest 9-month no-penalty CD that lets you move your money anytime, anywhere. It doesn't get any more straightforward than that. Call Ally at 877-247-ALLY or go to allybank.com. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
Reason number 48 to switch to GEICO.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge your premium to your credit card. It's easy and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you, you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont. We continue with hour number two of Beyond the Beltway. Tonight featuring commentary by Democrat Dan Johnson Weinberger, Republican Chris Moronis, and Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. Our program tonight coming to you from the SiriusXM studios on Chicago's Great West Side, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you would like to email us a comment, our email address, btb@museum.tv. btb@museum.tv. We have been talking about the president's comments in a press conference last week when he referred to the Cambridge Police Department as acting stupidly in the arrest of black scholar Henry Louis Gates from Harvard College. And in doing so, it has dominated much of the news. In fact, the purpose of the press conference was to talk about the health care issue. We will be talking about that before we go off the air this evening. However, the response to this issue and the president a few days later, you know, sort of backtracking, admitting that basically a mistake had been made, although he didn't apologize to anybody. He did not apologize, but he did say that this was a teaching moment. And so we are doing a little more teaching, even though Professor Gates wants us to move on. We will move on after we finish our discussion. Today on Fox News Sunday, Juan Williams from National Public Radio and a member of the Fox News Sunday team, obviously one of the leading African-American journalists in the country, the man that wrote Eyes on the Prize, perhaps the best television show of all time. Certainly I would put it in the top 10.
Did he write that?
He wrote Eyes on the Prize. A lot of people don't remember that. He was talking as an African American. Yeah. He was talking about what this issue means, and he was talking about a recent poll that indicated that almost a third of black America thinks that the president did not handle this issue well. And this is what Juan Williams had to say.
About a third of black America thinks he didn't handle as well. And that's kind of surprising because, as I can tell you, as a black person sitting here, there's a lot of tension between black men and police. And people are sort of instinctively given to the idea that, you know, police can overreact or prickly. But in this situation, the president spoke without the facts. And so you can't have a teachable moment if it's based on a lie. And what happened was the president reacted and spoke. He spoke about things like racial profiling and pointed out that he had acted on this as a state legislature. But you know what? This is not about racial profiling. This is about a guy breaking into his house. The neighbor appropriately calls the police, who come in response to that. And once the police come, ask, who are you? Ask who else is in the house. And then Professor Gates, according to the police report, begins to berate the officer, make demands on the officer, talk about his mother, and ask, do you know who I am? You don't know who you're dealing with. And continues this even after the president says that Gates is pulled out of his house. In fact, Gates pursues the officer out of his house. And the officer, according to the police report, and I might add, there's a black policeman, a Hispanic policeman on the scene, and they corroborate this. The officer pulls out his handcuffs and tells Gates to stop, and Gates pursues, continues persistently to berate the officer. Now, you tell me, what is this an instance of, you know, a poor black kid being, you know, treated badly by a cop, you know, some kind of police harassment? No, I don't think so at all. And apparently the president wasn't aware of any of this when he spoke out.
Chris Varonis, your response to Juan Williams and the incident.
And so Juan Williams, a left-of-center commentator, in the final analysis, he's got the takeaway. This was not an example of racial profiling. It was not a racist incident. There's plenty of blame to go around, especially on Gates. Crowley, too. But at the end of the day, this clearly wasn't the commentary on the state of race relations in America today. It wasn't.
You were making a point during the break about what the first hour was about.
Well, and it's interesting to look back at the first hour. Everyone was trying. It was purely on the drama of the situation, the conflict. Who said what? What happened? Where were they?
Testosterone. It was about testosterone.
Yeah, it was testosterone. That's exactly what it was. And was there testosterone? Yes. Were there mistakes made on both sides? Yes. Was there lack of communication? Absolutely. And that's all this was. But at the end of the day, unfortunately, Obama elevated it. Gates did. Deval Patrick, Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton in particular saying, I can't think of any other defining moment about race relations than this incident.
Well, nobody's ever accused Al Sharpton of being wise. I think that this is a political error for the president. I think that he's escalated an issue that doesn't bend exactly his way. I think that he's put himself in a pretty awkward position, and I think he's about to do it again, actually on his vacation. It's hard to believe you could make a mistake on your vacation, but I believe that flying to Martha's Vineyard, the sort of home of all the people that you were trying to disassociate yourself from during the campaign when you were trying to get all these blue dogs elected and so forth that you were running. He ran from the left, it's true, but he said, I'm not your usual sort of elitist, liberal kind of, I come from the streets, I'm a community organizer, all of that sort of thing. I wish he'd gone to Door County, Wisconsin. I wish he'd gone to Benton Harbor, Michigan, or one of the places along the lake that people do vacation. I think that he's gotten himself into trouble here. The big issue, of course, is health care. This is and he stepped on that message. The fact that this is the hot issue that we're talking about tonight does not help the president. He needs to get that initiative back.
Let's go to Jerome in Reston, Virginia, listening to us on POTUS XM tonight. Go ahead.
Hey guys, I'd like to say that long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
And just sitting here and listening to all the comments and getting the facts, I would have to agree that Gates overreacted. But then the bigger issue is, let's look at this further. Let's talk about racial profiling. Myself, I'm a black male living in the U.S., and ever since I can remember, I've been racially profiled. First time it ever happened to me, I was 16 years old. I grew up in a white neighborhood, never will forget it. I'm walking home from school, there's kids fighting, and the cops were called. What did the cops do? I'm a block or two away. They stopped right there, started to arrest me, question me, and someone had to come out and say, no, Jerome is not part of this. You should be going up the street. So black males in the U.S. for the longest have been racially profiled, and this was not a clear case of that, because I think what happened with Gates was more so an ego thing between Gates and the police officer.
Right.
But black males, as I stated, they've been going through racial profiling. We should examine this and see what can we do
Jerome, put yourself on the other side of the badge, if you will, and you use your own life's experience. What, in your view, is going through the mind of the police officer who, or the police officers who have stopped you over the years? What do you think they're thinking about? By the way, you know what? I've asked the question, but we're going to a break. So I do want to get your answer. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to give you got 3 minutes to think of the answer, because I really want to get from your perspective what you think's going on with the people that have encountered you over the years. I think it's an important discussion to have, and we'll have it with you when we continue from Reston, Virginia, and from Chicago. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight. 1-800-723-8289.
These are times for saving money. Maybe a few less lattes. Movies on TV instead of at the theater. A trip to the country instead of cross country. But knowing that if you or your family are in a crash, OnStar is automatically alerted and can get help to your exact location? Not something you really want to do without. OnStar is standard for the first year on 14 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
I've worked in dot-coms and in technology for the last 20 years. I noticed that there were a lot of younger guys, and I started not getting jobs.
This is John from Utah.
You were treated differently if you had gray hair and you were an older guy, and that's not only just at work, but everywhere.
Then John got rid of his gray with Just for Men.
You know, I started getting jobs, and they don't think of me as an old guy. The majority of the people I associate with are 20 or 30 years my junior, and I get along just fine with them.
For essential career tips and a free offer, go to justformen.monster.com. That's justformen.monster.com.
From Riverside, California to Reston, Virginia, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, and we're talking with Jerome, who's listening to us on POTUS XM tonight, and he is in Reston, Virginia. He has described himself as an African-American who's been pulled over many times in his life, and I had asked the question before the break, what in your view, because I'm sure you've thought about it, what do you think is going through the mind of the police officers who have pulled you over the years? What's going through their minds?
Well, thank you for the time to think about it, because a lot of things ran through my mind. And I think more than anything else with these police officers is, what are their reference models? And they're running things up their ladder of inference. They are making judgments based on their past experience. And the unfortunate side of things is that sometimes our ladder of inference is incorrect, and they're just using their best judgment, and their best judgment at times are wrong.
Let me ask this in the context of something that we've discussed actually over the last couple of weeks on this program, and when Salim Muwakkil from These Times was our guest a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, he makes a very strong point, as do many African Americans, that the prison population in this country is very large African American, not majority, but a large percentage are African Americans. If you are a police officer, and your mindset is that because there are so many African Americans in prison, that when you see an African American going down the street, would you not automatically at least want to stop and ask them a question? Is that fuzzy thinking? Is it racial? Is it racism?
It is racism. I mean, that is racism at its truest. I think the problem here is how African-American males are portrayed. I mean, I spoke to a young lady from Germany who just came over, and we were talking about, you know, the different races in America. And I'm like, well, how are black males portrayed? And she was like, well, the thinking in Germany, because we don't have a lot of black males there. When I saw them here, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get robbed or raped. And it's because we are portrayed in a bad light.
Well, this is the American tragedy that you're talking about. And as I was saying earlier, this is Charles Lipson, I was saying that when I was living in Cambridge in the 1970s and 80s, I felt that there was a fair amount of racism in terms of who got pulled over. Driving while black was something that I really saw. But my sense was that that had changed a lot. And I wonder if your sense is that the issues that you're talking about are the same as they have been, or if they've gotten better or God forbid, gotten worse.
I would say that they've gotten worse.
Worse.
I have not seen any changes. I mean, unfortunately, I've gotten arrested in my own home when I called the cops before, and they came to my door because I had a girlfriend at the time. We were having an argument. I didn't want to escalate to anything beyond an argument. I called a police officer. I'm like, can you escort her out? They're like, well, no, she's established resident and everything. I'm like, okay, well, thank you. Goodbye. And I slammed the door. They kicked the door in and arrested me for disturbing the peace. It was later dropped. But, right. I mean, police officers, they abuse their power. They really do. When you are a black male in the U.S., you are going to feel that abuse if you have not already, and it's going to continue throughout your lifetime.
Do you believe that the president's comments, which is where this discussion began, do you think that the president's comments or defense of Henry Gates and his description of the Cambridge Police Department as acting stupidly in a national press conference, does that, in your view, help or hurt the cause that is obviously of personal concern to you?
I think more than anything else, it hurt the cause, because that was not the forum for the president to address the issue. And I was very disappointed in President Obama's choice of words. I think for him to be an educated gentleman, as he is, he should have selected his words much, much better.
What should he have said?
I could not believe he said what he said.
What should he have said?
I think he should have either dodged the question or used another word besides stupid.
Well, look.
I just think that was a very strong word to use without knowing all the facts.
Yeah, stupid is one of those words that gets everybody's attention. Jerome, thanks very much for being with us on the line tonight. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kankakee, Illinois, where Al is listening to us on WLS. Go ahead, Al.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Good evening,
gentlemen.
I appreciate you taking my call. There's several things that trouble me about this. First of all, I've been through this experience myself.
On which side?
I locked myself out of my house. I had an officer respond because one of my neighbors saw me, and he came, and it was over in a minute and a half. The officer came, I showed him my ID, it was over. I thanked him for his concern. He asked me if I was all right, and it was over. But there's issues here beyond that. I mean, what I'm saying, what happened to me was over in a minute and a half. I didn't start talking about the officer's mother. I didn't start yelling. You know, I didn't get in anyone's face. But the thing is that this man could have just stayed in his house when the officer was leaving, and it would have been over. But he followed him outside of his house. At that point in time, this becomes a public safety issue because there was traffic that was being kind of backed up from people observing this miscreant behavior. I mean, and then the guy's house has been broke in before. I mean, this was, and the thing was is that they offered to have someone come there and secure his property when they were taking him away. They moved the handcuffs from the back of him and gave him the option of having them in front of him. They got his cane. I don't know how you can be more helpful to a person that has treated you so poorly.
How about this one? If he comes outside and he's acting arrogantly in a stupid way, get in your car and drive away instead of arresting an old man in a bit of an ego trip. I don't know how you can say with a straight face that it's a public safety issue because some angry old man is yelling in a street.
He's younger than me. Don't start calling him young old man.
I heard ageism.
This is ageism.
I thought he was older
worst.
Than that.
I thought right. you guys
Go
were
ahead, Al. Let's let Al respond. Go ahead, Al.
Are you telling me that you should get special privileges under the law because you're an angry old man?
I'm saying it's not disorderly conduct, and I think it's ridiculous to think it's a public safety issue. It sounded like
well,
That would be your
Dan, what is disorderly conduct? You've got a very narrow definition of what it is.
What disorderly conduct is?
What is
it? Something that is worth having an officer of the government put you in handcuffs and take you away that's really causing problems to other people, not to the police.
I think thousands of police officers disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then
if we have a police officer listening, give us a call, 1-800-723-8289. What is disorderly conduct? Let us go to John calling from St. Louis. Nice to hear from Missouri tonight. Go ahead, John.
Yes. Since it's a teachable moment, you might have said that President Obama could have said, nobody's above the law, and the only thing you should say to an officer is, yes or no, sir, and thank you for doing your duty, sir. Instead, what the lesson now is, if you're in trouble, just call racism, and charges will be dropped. That's the worst message. There were two people reported going to that room. What if one of them was behind the General Mr. Gates and had a gun on him? How do you know that? The officer was doing standard police practice to try to get the man out of the house so he could ascertain what was going on. A second person with a gun in there, that if you had left, then they'd call it racism because you left. So you're using the word racism is by itself racist.
No one's using the word racism.
And the fact is, all he has, what his teachable moment should be is respect the police and these things wouldn't happen, just as the caller before was saying. Should be what you tell children and that's what you tell adults. Respect the police.
All right, let's go to Robbie in Salinas, California, listening to us on KION. I understand you know a little thing about police protocol.
I know quite a bit about police protocol. I'm not a police officer, nor have I ever been. However,
you play one on radio.
I'm a supplier to police departments, and therefore I get a lot of interaction with police training officers, and I know quite a bit about the things that police do. I've been a vendor to Hawaii police departments, California police departments, federal police departments.
And what's your view on this issue tonight?
My view on this is that the officer was doing exactly what he was supposed to do by protocols, and if he had not done what he did, he could have been held liable had anything happened to Mr. Gates.
Wait a minute. Arresting him? For is mouthing off to
him?
An officer
what?
Is somehow protecting him from what?
We're going a little bit far there. We're not that far yet. Okay?
So then what's your point?
Had Mr. Gates followed the officer's instructions and cooperated, he never would have been placing himself in a position of being arrested. But that's a little bit further on. The police officer has to follow certain protocols. One of them is to establish identification. Mr. Gates gave him a hard time on that. Then the police officer had to get Mr. Gates out of the house to establish that he was not under duress. After all, there was a report of two people breaking into the house. They could have been holding him or one of the members of his family hostage, and the police officer needed to get him outside to establish that that was not a fact.
10 seconds to go, then we got to move on, Robbie. Finish it up.
Okay. The police officer did exactly what he did. Mr. Gates followed him out. It was not during the daytime. It was at night. And he did create a disturbance in the neighborhood to the extent that the neighbors were coming out of their houses to see what the ruckus was all about.
All right, on that note, we have to say farewell. Thanks very much for your call, 1-800-723-8289, 1-800-823-7289. Back shortly.
It's the medicine your mom gave you as a kid, the medicine you trusted when you were pregnant. And for many, it's what you rely on to ease arthritis pain. Tylenol has been trusted for over 50 years. And while store brands make pills that look just like Tylenol, it's important to know they're not made by Tylenol. The only way to get the brand you've trusted your whole life, the brand doctors recommend most, is to buy the brand doctors recommend most. Feel better. Tylenol. Use only as directed.
You know, I'd get the interview easily with my resume and everything, and then I'd walk in and I could just see their, you know, you can just see their expression. They think I'm too old.
This is Andy from Sydney, Ohio.
And a friend just told me, you know, one day, he said, why don't you try coloring your hair? And I said, worth a try. And the very next interview I had, I got the job. It could be coincidence, but I doubt it.
For essential career tips and a free offer, go to justformen.monster.com. That's justformen.monster.com.
From Detroit, Michigan to Sacramento, California, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8029. Our Republican tonight is Chris Voronis. He is a public relations executive. And our Democrat is Dan Johnson Weinberger. He is a political activist and a lobbyist at the statewide level. And the two of them went to the University of Illinois together. Did you have any clout to get in?
No. Okay. I got in through the Department of Agriculture and then transferred over to liberal arts and sciences.
And when you were in college, you wrote opinion op-ed pieces opposite each other in the Daily Illini.
Roger Ebert's old publication.
Yeah. Your old publication.
We were also in student government together, Dan, and I defunded all of Dan's programs.
That's right.
So you have been debating issues for many, many years.
And dominating them, too.
Charles Lipson also joins us, the pride of Marks, Mississippi, from the University of Chicago. And we are talking about the incident involving Henry Louis Gates and the Cambridge Police Department, James Crowley. They are going to be at the White House. They both have accepted an invitation to go to the White House to make nice with the president. The president has said that Mr. Crowley is a fine, upstanding police officer, and they're going to have a beer. So I would love to be a little fly on the wall in that little discussion. I'm sure it's not going to be real cordial. And you said you hope that the president doesn't order
an American beer, for Lord. Lord, please get an American beer and don't serve it with brie.
We have lots of callers on the line. Let us go to them right now. Let's go to Michelle, listening to us in Chicago on WLS. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Michelle, and I've actually been arrested, and I'm a professional and a well-educated individual, well-respected in my field. But the thing is, whenever you challenge a police officer, then my experience, in particular living in Chicago, is that they respond extremely negatively. And so I truly have a problem. I believe that he probably acted very poorly in his response. Why isn't it that police act to de-escalate a situation rather than further escalate it? Why couldn't he have just walked away?
Right.
Left the gentleman in his home.
I want to ask the question. I'm going to let you respond, but I also want to ask Charles Lipson as well. Do you, and I asked this at the beginning of the program, whether this was cultural, maybe even more than racial. Or it was cultural, and then it was testosterone, and maybe racial was the third element of it. But let me ask this question, which underscores what Michelle has just said. Do you believe that when police officers, who generally come from a middle to lower middle socioeconomic background,
blue collar work,
blue collar, when they engage with someone who is college educated, or perhaps even a lawyer, there's an automatic resentment against that individual. If not automatic, is it there?
There may be. I haven't really experienced that. My sense was I have experienced policemen who sort of automatically hated me in an earlier day when I had long hair or something. You just didn't want to be with them. On the other hand, I've also experienced people who don't like police officers and sort of approach them in the wrong way. My sense here is that the police officer may have overreacted, and a number of the people who are saying he could have just walked away, I'm sure that's right. That doesn't mean that he was absolutely wrong to have done what he did. But if you look at it from Skip Gates' point of view, my hunch is that Gates really did feel that he was being targeted and being profiled as a black person. We know from the outside that a neighbor called it in, that he should have realized, you know, I look like I'm breaking into a house. And anybody, in fact, a lot of property crimes in the Cambridge, Boston area are committed by people of all different racial groups.
Michelle, did you sense that there's a cultural or an elitist element, anti-elitist element in your arrest?
Yes, absolutely. I've seen it happen that there is an issue with elitism because I've also been actively involved in peace rallies. And there is something about when people try to exercise their right to free speech or when they just exercise any of their freedom to being on their own property or protesting what they think is inappropriate, The police come down very hard.
I think there is something to that. Can I ask you the other question? Do you sense among the people who are your friends who are professionals and that sort of thing a sense of contempt for the police?
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Is there prejudice going the other direction as well or not?
Going the other direction that
professionals have a certain sense that these people are not nearly as educated or as well informed as I am. Who are they to boss me around? Who are they to tell me?
No, because actually, when I got arrested, it was impossible for the officer to know what my class was really. And I don't think that is the case, that people who are well-educated. However, what I do see are people who are health and social service professionals and the like. We have an expectation that people should work in the common good rather than believing that because by virtue of being an officer that they're above the law themselves. Being in Chicago, seeing police brutality, seeing racism among the cops, it's a daily thing for us.
And I'll tell you.
I don't think it's an issue of that people who are well-educated.
Chris has got Chris West.
They want them to behave better.
Here's a question. If a police officer pulls over someone who is speeding and that person is in a BMW and the policeman decides to give that person a ticket, is that policeman wrong?
Oh, absolutely not. Not if they're speeding.
What if someone is there's a call that there's a possible break-in with two individuals. There's been crime in the neighborhood. The policeman investigates it. Is that police officer wrong for taking proactive measures to identify the situation?
I don't think they're wrong for responding. I think that's appropriate. I have to wonder about a neighborhood where people don't recognize their neighbors, but that's a whole separate issue.
You know, you brought up the BMW.
I didn't bring up the BMW.
No, Chris Veronis, our guest in studio, brought it up. And the point is, you know, when you talk about speeding and whether it's a BMW or whether it's a convertible, I think if you're driving in a convertible, you're being profiled as someone who's going to speed. Because you know what? You are either speeding or if you follow that car will speed if you're in a convertible. I think it goes with convertible drivers. Now, are they being profiled? I think the answer is yes, they are.
Yeah.
I think their conduct would suggest that. And by the way, I mentioned during the break, early in my career, I used to go on police ride-alongs. Ride-alongs with the Chicago Police Department, and I've done it probably 30, 40 nights in my career, although it was many, many years ago. The one thing I would say that I noticed, and it wasn't necessarily all people who had a higher degree of education, but there was a real strong resentment towards lawyers. If someone got pulled over and they were a lawyer, they usually were given kind of a tough time.
You know, as a lawyer, I could speak to that because I remember one time I saw a police officer hassling some guy, selling stuff in the park and, sort of pushing him around. So I'm like, well, what's going on here, officer? You know, I was a law student at the time. So I'm like, yeah, well, you know, it's a free society. I'm allowed to ask a police officer what he's doing. You know, what am I like? It's supposed to be submissive. I can ask a question. And he was hostile as soon as I said, you know, I'm a law student. And I remember he said, well, let me tell you, Perry Mason. Right. Why don't you take a hike?
Right. You call him Kochak?
Right. But I would say, you know, police officers are a very difficult job, and we give them a lot of autonomy and a lot of authority. And when police officers make mistakes, and everybody makes mistakes, we should be able to hold them into account.
Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Jim, who's
that
identified himself as a retired police chief, listening to us on WTIM. Go ahead. You're on the air, Jim.
Yes, thank you. I was just been listening to your program now for about an hour, and I've listened to a lot of people give their personal opinions on things. And I was just a little bit concerned that there didn't seem to be a lot of people with the education and the experience in law enforcement that know exactly. I've heard the word procedures used a lot, but it's also what dictates the procedures is the policy. What's written?
Well, take us through it. Take us through this.
What's your assessment of what happened here, Jim?
Pardon me?
What is your assessment, based on what you have read about this incident, what's your view? Take us inside the incident as you would analyze it.
Well, from what I've heard, because you know, obviously I wasn't a witness to it, but you know, if all accounts are true, anytime a police officer, and I believe this applies to just about all 50 states, requests someone to identify themselves, if the person refuses to identify themselves, then they're subject to arrest. You have to identify yourself to a police officer. There's nothing in there that says you have to ask them two times or three times or four times, or that you have to put up with a lot of verbal abuse. You ask a person to identify themselves, and if they don't, if they refuse, that's grounds for arrest.
But once he has then identified himself.
Without going into all the other versions that I've heard, just to keep it simple, you know, in a nutshell, and like I said, if all accounts of the witnesses and reports that we've been reading and hearing about is true, then all this talk, it's stirring up a whole lot of different perspectives, but really, the bottom line is did the individual, the Cambridge professor, break the law by refusing to identify himself? And again, if all accounts are true, he did. Therefore, he was subject to arrest for refusing to cooperate by identifying himself.
Jim, I'd like you to stay on the line. I want to give you more opportunity to offer your perspective. We do appreciate it. And are you willing to stick around for a while?
Yeah, I can stick around for a little while.
Good. We're going to put you on hold. We'll be back to you shortly. Our retired police chief will find out exactly where he retired from when we continue from Chicago.
Painting is like giving your home a fresh coat of character. At Ace, we help make it easier, and now more affordable. For a limited time, get a $5 mail-in rebate on each gallon of select Royal paint, starting at $21.99, so you can make your bedroom a little brighter, give your living room a new look. For everything you'll need, plus expert advice on making a big difference for a small price, hurry in to Ace, the helpful place. Participating stores only, limit 10. See store for details.
I'm a human resources professional.
This is Chet from Sneed's Ferry, North Carolina.
Gray means you're old, period. Long in tooth. I use Just for Men. It makes me perform better.
So we asked, should a guy get rid of his gray with Just for Men?
Absolutely. I flat out tell him, guy, you got to do something with your hair. You got to make yourself look younger, because they cannot ask you how old you are.
For essential career tips and a free offer, go to justformen.monster.com. That's justformen.monster.com.
From El Paso, Texas to Virginia Beach, Virginia, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. We were talking with Jim, who was the retired police chief we found out from Virginia Beach, Virginia. But he inadvertently has dropped off the line. So, Jim, if you're listening, do call us back, because we do want to engage you in the remaining time that we have this evening. I mentioned that Chris Varonis, our Republican, is a PR executive when he's not here. Take us to that meeting between the president and Henry Louis Gates and Officer Crowley. From a PR perspective, what advice would you be giving to each side, the Gates side and the Crowley side, as a PR professional? What would you be telling them to do?
Well, first of all, on Obama's part, that was a good move. It reinforces his reputation that he wants to have. So, you know,
he has a drinking problem.
Bring
us all together.
Conciliator. Conciliator. But only if it's a fine vintage stock of red wine, yeah. Like Chateau LeBlanc 68. Slightly chilled, Bruce. I mean, we're talking about Obama
Bruce
here.
Dumont
here. We're talking about
Bruce
Obama
Dumont.
Here.
And
it's a whole new train of thought
if
here.
There's
ahead.
A funny talking yeah. Boston guy coming, yeah, he'll have a beer. I mean, he'll hold his nose and have a beer. But that's a good media ploy, a publicity stunt. I think the best thing, if you're on Gates' point of view, is to listen intentfully. You want to be above the fray. You want to not give up anything necessarily, but you want to reach a point of understanding with this cop. You want to identify them. You've already got bad baggage out in the media with your behavior. Some of the things that he says reinforces the not-so-wholesome things about the cultural elite.
And what about the officer?
If you're the officer, I think he stood his ground, saying, I did my job. I think you also want to listen, and I think you want to come to a point where you've got mutual understanding between both parties.
And
most importantly, you don't want to have a canned situation where both sides say they have got a newfound revelation on the other person. Don't blow it up. Make it simple. This is person to person.
I've studied a lot of these issues from the point of view of diplomacy and what happens before you get a summit meeting. And the key thing.
You mean be having a beer?
The key thing before summit meetings is they have literally people who are called Sherpas. They prepare the summit, just like the people who would lead you up the Himalayas. Yeah. And basically, you need an agreement before they come into the White House. You need to know what's going to come out of this because you cannot walk them out there and everybody's in the same position. Then, if you're the president, you look in bad shape.
You know what I would be doing? I'd be trying to make a deal with some to find out whether we're going to have Miller or Budweiser. Get a product endorsement out of this deal. That's the American way. I understand we have Bob listening in Cambridge. No, I guess he's not listening in Cambridge. Bob is gone. Someone was calling from Cambridge, but he obviously was not going to wait.
Have been arrested, Bruce.
Let's go to Lompoc, Texas, where Mike is listening to us on POTUS XM radio. Go ahead. You're on the air.
How are you, sir?
Hi, how are you?
Life is good.
Good.
My biggest problem with this whole scenario, I think the most stupid personage in this entire scenario would be the president commenting on the local situation, not to mention the fact that he identified one of the persons as a friend of his. Why would you do that?
Because it's true.
I can.
What's wrong with that?
Let me give you an example here. When Rosa Parks refused to move to the back of the bus, she was not the first person in Birmingham in Montgomery who had refused to do it. The people who were working that waited for there was an unwed mother. They didn't take that case. This is not an especially good teachable moment in many cases. And I think of all the cases to weigh in on, there is a problem, as some of our callers have said, about racial profiling. There's also a problem about in the black community about people not cooperating with the police. Don't be a snitch and all of that.
That's a real problem.
So there are teachable moments. But this was not an especially good one.
Let's head to Birmingham, Alabama. Stephen is listening to us on WAPI. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I'll try to make this brief. First of all, I've heard several comments about the professionals, so-called professionals. I don't know if that means a neurosurgeon. Certainly, I'd put that above a lawyer.
Depends on whether you got a legal problem or a brain problem.
Yeah, well, probably both. But I just think in the past it was probably true. But there are a lot of young police officers now that start off after a degree in criminal justice. So I don't think that's fair not to refer to them as professionals. But let me give you another example, if I could, and how this might could have been handled. If I had been trying to break in my house for whatever reason, lost the keys or whatever, and the police officers arrived after somebody else reported it, and all three of or whatever of the police officers happened to be African American, I'll assure you my comments to them would have been, listen, I sure as hell appreciate you getting here when you did, and they would have been negligent in their job to leave not knowing that I was whom I said I was. So I think it could have been handled entirely different, and none of this would have come up.
I appreciate it very much, Stephen. On that note, we are out of time. I want to thank our guests this evening. Chris Varonis has been here. He is our card-carrying conservative Republican, a professional public relations executive. Also joining us this evening is Dan Johnson-Weinberger. He is a Democratic lobbyist.
Attorney, lawyer. Proudly lawyer.
Friend of those who have no friends. The Boston Blackie of this program also joins Charles Simpson from the University of Chicago. This program is a Genevieve production produced in association with WLS Talk Radio. Tom Veracruz, Ben Stewart, and Kate Shepard helped make this program possible. Until next week, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
Since OnStar began, we've responded to over 100,000 automatic crash alerts.
OnStar emergency is placed on some line. I'm bleeding. Okay, I'll get 911 on the line.
Police.
This is OnStar emergency. I have an accident on Basselton Highway. It was an airbag deployment in the accident. It was on the front and the maximum delta V was 16 miles per hour. I have 911 on the line.
Please come. I've got two kids in the car.
Is anyone injured?
I'm broken my nose.
We got the ambulance and police headed out there.
Okay. Honey, baby, OnStar called the police. They're coming.
In a crash, an OnStar advisor can automatically receive an alert and share your exact GPS location and critical crash details with first responders, so they're better prepared to help.
Are first responders there?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
OnStar is standard for the first year on 14 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
With welcome rewards from Hotels.com, you get a free night after accumulating 10 nights with any of their partner hotels.
So Hotels.com is telling me to sleep around.
Exactly. Stay at a boutique, a national chain, anywhere. Sleep around.
Is that ethical?
Of course. Who wouldn't want you to sleep around?
My wife.
With Hotels.com, she can sleep around too.
What did you say?
You know what? That didn't come out right.
Accumulate 10 nights, even at different hotels, and earn a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com. Smart. So smart. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.
I wasn't getting past a certain point with the interviews.
This is Tamar from Washington, D.C.
Gray kind of says, does he have the energy to do the job?
And then Tamar tried Just for Men.
And when I went into the interview, I just went into the interview with a new renewed energy or something. And it was the first time I left the place knowing I had the job. It really wasn't anything magical or anything, but it was magical to me.
For essential career tips and a free offer, go to justformen.monster.com. That's justformen.monster.com.
Introducing the Ally Bank 12-month high-yield CD with such a great annual return of 2% APY. People think there's a catch. But no, no catch, no teaser rate, no limited time offer, no fine print, jargon, or legalese, no hidden tricks, traps, pitfalls, curveballs, or doublespeak. Just a 12-month high-yield CD with a rate that's among the most competitive in the country. Call Ally at 877-247-ALLY or go to allybank.com. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Every month, we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like GEICO's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. GEICO.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy Squeezy Lemon Peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.